Okay. A lesson in draw schedules. Draw schedules are what you need to provide to the bank that show the repairs that you're going to do to the house. And I'm going to, after we go through this, we're going to really go through a whole scenario as far as borrowing is concerned. But the bank needs to know how much money you're borrowing for repairs, and they need to know specifically what repairs you're going to do. When you give them this draw schedule, what you see in your cheat sheets is identical to some of the draw schedules that I put together. They're very simple. They don't have to be difficult. In this particular case, draw number one, heating and air, $7,000, install new windows, $5,000, new roof, $3,000, demolition of interior, $2,000, for a total of $17,000. I believe that the example that you've got in your cheat sheets is going to be three draws of $17,000 each for a total of $51,000. When I went to the banks and I asked for this money for repairs, I was probably anticipating spending between $40,000 and $45,000 to get my rehab done. And I was over-borrowing. I was asking for $51,000 for a number of reasons. Number one, I'm padding my numbers just in case something does come up. But more importantly, if I did do a good job and I estimated my repairs correctly, I'm going to be able to recoup some of the cash that I have put into the deal. So if I brought $10,000 to the table and I only needed $40,000 for my rehab, I can basically get back the cash that I brought to the table through my draw schedule. So I want everybody to understand that. So here's my first draw to the bank. If I'm asking for $7,000 for heating and air, I might really only need $5,000 or $5,500. So I'm getting an extra $1,000 to $1,500. My windows might only cost me $4,000, but I'm asking for $5,000. So we're fudging the numbers a little bit. Now, when I say that I'm fudging these numbers a little bit, I don't want anybody to sit here and think that I'm lying to the bank or I'm getting over on the bank. That's not the case at all. The bank is well aware of what I do, and they're aware of it every time. The bank, for a couple of reasons, accepts that. They don't have a problem with it. First of all, if the house appraises and they get the numbers that they need, they want to lend as much money as they can as long as it fits their criteria. It's not their goal to do smaller loans. It's their goal to do bigger loans. They make more money the bigger the loan. As long as it safely fits their criteria, they'll lend you the money. Secondly, they understand that things can go wrong. Every once in a while, you think it's going to cost you $40,000 to do your rehab, and it's going to be $50,000. If you only ask the bank for $40,000 and you discover it's going to be $50,000 and you don't have any money, you're not going to be able to finish your rehab the way it's supposed to be done. They'd rather see you put a fudge factor into your deals to make sure that you've got some extra money there to cover those contingencies. And finally, they also believe that you should be putting some money into those draw schedules to pay yourself for managing the project. So they don't have a problem with you pulling extra monies out. Now, this is an agreement between you and the bank as far as this draw schedule is concerned. If you told the bank that it's going to be $51,000, and let's say that you legitimately thought it would be $51,000, what you're going to do anyway when you go out is you're going to shop to get the best prices you can get. If you can get the job done for $40,000, you're going to get it done for $40,000, and the bank is not going to penalize you for saving money.
They expect you to.
Exactly. So what the draw schedule is what the bank agrees to give you for that work when it's completed. That's how much more they're going to lend you. This is not contingent upon invoices. This is not contingent upon proposals from contractors. They don't ask for that. They basically, they go out. If you say the windows are complete, they go out to see, send an inspector out. If the windows are complete, they give you $5,000 for the windows.
Steve.
Go ahead.
Gosh, I was hoping to catch you in a pause. I didn't mean to interrupt you mid-sentence there.
That's okay.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
If it's okay, could I just share something that I think goes right along with what you're saying?
Sure.
And just kind of amplifies it from a different perspective. When I faced this exact issue, I was concerned. I was that guy who, you know, the first time I was getting my officer's guidance line from the bank and I had to put together my draw schedule, I had a mentor here locally, and I put together something that was about, it was about as simple as this, but I was using my real numbers rounded. And he said, don't do that. And I wrestled with it because I was like, well, I don't want to lie. You know, I want to be honest. And he said, look, if the bank has to foreclose on this thing and they have to finish the rehab, they're going to go to the Yellow Pages and call the most expensive contractor out there, or they're going to call Sears to come out and do these repairs. So they want you to use numbers that reflect what they're going to have to pay if they had to do that work. So they know I'm not going to go call Sears to come out and put my siding on. I'm going to pay half that, but they're not going to have the contact that I have with a contractor or that I get through one of my mentors here locally. So that really helped me just in being very settled with the fact that the bank really expects us. It's, you know, padding numbers has almost a bad connotation from even the way it's said, but they expect you to have a fudge factor in there that is to their benefit, not just yours. It's a safety net for both of you.
Exactly, because if you run out of money, you're not going to get the project done right. They want to make sure you have enough money to do it right.
Right.
And you don't get penalized for getting the job done for less. So I want everybody to keep that in mind. As you look at these draw schedules, I'm not going to go through each one of these things line item by line item. Go ahead, take a look at them. This is important as we're going to move forward here, just understanding draw schedules. When you submit this to the bank and they agree to do this for you, they don't give you this money up front. Instead, they give you the money after the repairs are completed. So you do have to get the job started. If you're somebody who is cash poor or doesn't have that much cash, you want to structure your draw schedule in such a way where you're going to get money coming to you faster than later. You don't want to put, you want to do more draws and maybe go really heavy on your first draws to get some cash in your pocket and make your last draws lighter, make them a little bit tighter, but get the cash up front so that you have working capital to get your deals with. So you can play with your draw schedules. For instance, let's just say that I didn't have much money and I needed to get some cash really quickly. I might make this 5 draws instead of 3 because I don't want to wait for everything in draw 1 to be completed before I get some money. So I might put a couple of easy things in draw 1 that we can knock out really fast, and I might ask for a lot more money than I really need for those couple of items just to get some cash into my account so that I have some working capital to work with to get me through the rest of the project. Does that make sense, JP?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right, so now that we've looked at here at the draw schedules, this is important for going to the bank with. Let's now start talking about the combining of financing. We take a first and a second mortgage combination to get impossible deals done. If I have a deal that I could not get done because I just simply do not have the down payment, I'm going to be able to get that deal completed because I'm doing a combination of financing. I'm getting a first mortgage and a second mortgage. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say many people on the phone do not do deals because they do not have the cash to pull their deals off. They don't have the down payment money. And with where the value of houses has went, you know, in 2005 and 2006, particularly in the Baltimore area, when our average house was selling for $330,000, $340,000, a wholesale house, we were buying houses wholesale for $150,000 to $200,000. When you're talking 20% down, that's $30,000 to $40,000 that people need in order to buy a house, in order to do a rehab. Not too many investors out there had an extra $30,000, $40,000 plus closing costs, plus money to get the contractor started sitting around. So I was the hero of many people who wanted to get started in investing at that time because I knew how to get these deals done. So keep this in mind. It's important for you to know when you know how to put these deals together, then all of a sudden everybody's coming to you because you're the person who has the keys to getting deals done. You know how to structure them. So what seems like an impossible deal becomes a possible deal when you do this. So the small local bank and a private second mortgage is the key. You can do a number of ways to accomplish that private second mortgage. You can do an owner carry back, and I'll talk about that in a second. You can do a loan from an IRA. So let's say that you have an IRA and you've got some money in it and you've got it set up where it's self-directed. You might be able to loan somebody their down payment from your IRA. Or you can go to somebody else who has an IRA with money in it, let them loan the down payment. Or you can get a hard money lender or private lender to actually do the down payment loan. Now, let's assume that I have a house that I picked up for $40,000, and I'm flipping it to another investor for $50,000. When they go to the bank, and the bank is only going to give them 80%, they need $10,000 down. Well, my profit is $10,000. I, in some cases, would go ahead and just take my entire profit as a $10,000 second mortgage. And that would be the buyer's down payment money. So they're getting 100% financing. The bank is giving them 40. I'm financing my profit of $10,000 for a total of $50,000. That means that I have to wait a little while for my profit, but if you're in a situation where you can do that, by all means do it. And that's the way that you get deals done. My buyer might not be able to buy that property from me if I don't do the financing for him. So this is something that I would commonly do. I would do this on a regular basis where I would finance the down payments myself or bring somebody else into the picture to finance the down payments, and I finance the down payments from my IRA. I do an awful lot of that. So here we're talking about getting impossible deals done where somebody could not normally do it. Now, what I would do is I would build my down payment loan. I would help my buyer to structure their draw schedule. I would build it into their draw schedule with padding the numbers. So let's go back to the draw schedule that we had. Let's assume that my buyer needed $40,000 for the rehab, and I'm lending them $10,000 to help get the deal done. Well, my deal with them might be, all right, I'll lend you the $10,000. However, I want to be paid back as you do your rehab. You need $40,000 for your rehab. Let's get $50,000 from the bank, or let's get $51,000 from the bank. And each time they give you a draw, you can pay me back a third of that $10,000 loan that I gave you at settlement.
Oh.
Make sense?
Yeah, I see where you're going.
Okay, so we would build these in. We would build the down payments into the loans or into the draw schedules. Now, when the numbers work, this is very easy to do. Like one of the keys is that we're buying using a 70% formula, paying 70% or less. The banks are going 80%. So there is typically a lot of room to move. There's enough in there for us to get the purchase price, the rehab, and we were even getting the banks to lend the closing costs and the interest reserve so that we didn't have to make payments on the properties. Now, I can share, before I go any further, I'm just going to share an example of one of the banks I used to deal with. I had a bank where I would go in, they would give me 100% of my purchase price, 100% of my closing costs, 100% of my renovation money, and they would finance my payments for me. The same bank also, we would call up and have our insurance put on the settlement sheet so that the bank was even financing the insurance. I never had to write any checks to get these deals done. And then I had a deal with my contractor where he didn't get paid until the bank released the money. And just as an example, I had this one deal where I never wrote a single check on it. I went in, I signed the paperwork to buy it. The bank financed 100% of everything. I told the contractor to get the rehab done. The contractor did the rehab. The bank released the monies to him. He finished the rehab. I put the house on the market. Meanwhile, the bank is financing my payments. I'm not making any payments to them. my house gets sold, I show up for settlement, sign some paperwork to sell the property, and I walk away with a check for $51,000. Without ever writing a check.
I love it.
That deal.
That's awesome.
But this is where you have to understand the banks. And then you need to know, as you're developing those relationships with them, you need to know, where can I push a little bit more? Where can I push a little bit more? How can I get this or how can I get that? Sometimes they're not going to roll all of this out for you right away. You establish these relationships in time. In any event, I was telling you about how we'll build the down payment into the draw schedule. Well, the one bank that we use all the time now, and I'm financing the down payments on a regular basis for people. Well, the bank came to me, and they knew that we were putting these in, and they said, Steve, because of what's happening in the market right now, we would like for the deals to come in, just be straightforward with us and tell us exactly what you're doing. If the down payment is being paid back to you, don't build it in anymore. Put it on the draw schedule. So they have asked me to make the down payment the final draw on the draw schedule so that when my borrower, who's borrowing this money from me, finishes their rehab and the bank goes out and says, okay, the rehab is finished, they release the rest of the rehab money and they write a check to me to pay me off for my down payment loan.
Now, they approached you recently with that?
They approached me probably about 6 months ago.
And that was you as the lender of the down payment for these transactions?
Correct.
Why? What's their? Why would they do that? What was their motivation?
What was their motivation?
Yeah.
For
wanting to recharacterize how it's treated and actually mark it as the down payment?
Because of where the market is going right now, as the board is evaluating these deals, they want to really know what the real number is that people are spending on their rehab. So if somebody is spending $60,000 on a rehab, but they're asking for $85,000 because they were borrowing $25,000 from me, right now where the market is going, the bank is thinking, okay, this rehab is costing $85,000 and they're buying the house for this much. This deal doesn't work. But now if they know that, okay, wait, it's really only 60 and 25 is the down payment money that they're paying back to Steve, okay, they're only putting 60 into this, okay, the deal does work. Make sense?
Yeah, okay.
They're just scrutinizing the deals a little bit more in this uncertain market. So they want to just make sure that they're making sure that the buyers are in right. And because otherwise, if they were really putting in 85 plus bringing 25 to the table, they're like, okay, this deal doesn't make sense. But now they're understanding that they're not bringing the 25 to the table, that it's actually going back to me.
All right, so we have an awareness, I want to give us a quick time check. We're sitting right about 3 minutes away from the 90-minute mark. And I know we still have a little bit to cover. How would you like to handle the rest of it?
Well, we have quite a bit to cover.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'd like to go through it if you're okay with it, and hopefully everybody who's on the line is enjoying the information, because right now we're really getting into the good stuff.
Yeah.
I want to get everybody thinking. I'll talk a little faster.
Hang on a second. Let's take a vote from the crowd. I'm gonna unmute the lines really quick. And for those of you who are on the phone, I think we have about 55 folks with us on the phone. And by the way, about 200 people. Is that right? No, we have 55 on the phone and 233 on the webcast. So we won't be able to hear from the 233. But for the 55 of you on the phone, if you want to keep going, let me hear you say yes.
Yes.
All right, I didn't hear a single no.
Okay, that's good.
Let's roll on. It was risky. We could have, but.
All right, I'd like for everybody, just you've got your cheat sheets out. Pull out a pencil. I want you to start really following closely as I go through these right now. Let's take a specific transaction. I'm going to think back to one of the last down payment loans that I just did. I had a situation where I loaned somebody $25,000 for their down payment loan. In this time, the bank has cut back on their 80% to 75% for newer investors that they're not comfortable with. This investor's purchase price was $100,000 on their house. And I think I'm going to use a hypothetical number because I want to round it. Their purchase price was actually like 95, but for me to sit here and do the calculations at 95, it's going to be a little more difficult. So I'm going to round it up to 100, but I'm going to tell you why I loaned him 25 on the 95 was because I was lending him a little bit of money for his closing costs as well, so he didn't have to bring everything to the table. But we'll just use this hypothetical situation. He's buying a property that appraises for it with an after repair value of $230,000. He's buying it for $100,000. Bank tells him he needs $25,000 down because he needs a 25% down payment. They will give him $75,000 at the settlement table. So write this down. Bank lends him $75,000 at settlement. I loan him $25,000 at settlement. So it's a total of $100,000. He has his complete purchase price in place. He is spending $60,000 on his rehab.
Now, real quick, is the bank's $75,000, is that amount so low because of the existing as-is value? I know the after-repair you said was $230,000.
Yes, that's based off of his purchase price of $100,000.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
They're going 75% of the $100,000 purchase price.
Gotcha.
Now, the $230,000 is the after repair value. That's what it appraises for. The bank will lend a total of 80% of that. That's the maximum loan for rehab money, everything. So 80% of $230,000 is $184,000. That's the total loan that the bank will give. At the time of settlement, they only gave him $75,000. There's a whole lot of other money on the table that they're willing to lend. In fact, there's $109,000 more that they are willing to lend him to do this deal. He only needs $60,000 for his rehab. So there's $49,000 more that he can ask for. And they'll still be comfortable with the loan. Am I being clear, JP? Do I have you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So of the $49,000 that they're still willing to lend him, he asks for another $25,000 so that he can pay me back.
And he listed it as what, repayment of down payment? Or?
That's exactly how he listed it in this case. I'm going to tell you right now, most banks would be very uncomfortable with that. And you're going to have to build that into the draw schedule. Instead of asking for 60, you'll ask for 85 for your repairs. You'll pad your numbers to get that down payment back. Most banks will be uncomfortable. This bank that I'm working with is not uncomfortable with it, but it also has a lot to do with the relationship that I have. So depending upon what the bank will do will dictate which way you go with it. All right, so he had $49,000 left. Of that, he's using $25,000. He's borrowing that from the bank to pay me back. He still has $24,000 left. He can ask for closing costs, and the bank will be happy to give it to him because it fits in the deal.
As long as there's a reason why. He can't just say, I just like the rest of the money because it's there.
Yeah, you've got to ask for it for something specific. So he says, I need $8,000 for my closing costs.
All right.
So they give it to him. There's still $16,000 left. Then he goes to the bank and he says, I'd like $12,000 put into an interest reserve to make my payments. The bank says, okay, we'll give you that $12,000 left. There's still $4,000 left. You don't ask for it. Just leave it there. And now what happens is when the bank goes and puts this whole thing together and they look at the appraisal and what their maximum loan is, they're coming in $4,000 below what they're comfortable with lending on this property. So to them, they feel like this is a very good loan. The investor is extremely pleased because now they got 100% financing, they got their closing costs financed, they got their payments financed, and they're getting all of their rehab money.
Now, do you have a second mortgage for your $25K?
I do have a second mortgage, yes.
And they're okay with that as well, I assume. I mean, obviously
yes.
They are.
Okay. Yes.
Because they're in first, so it doesn't matter to them.
So if for a moment, JP, this might be a time where maybe we could just open up the lines again and just say, you know, how many people would be doing deals if they could get their deals structured that way?
So I guess
the question is, how many of you would do those deals if you could have them structured in that fashion where you didn't have to bring any money?
All day.
Yep.
Awesome.
What I'm looking for. All right. That is what I have been doing for people for years in the Baltimore area, which is why people keep coming back to me to buy their houses, because I make it easy for them to buy. So the key is understanding the lenders, knowing how to structure these deals so that you can make it easy for people to buy. When you can do that for them, they will be lining up to buy them from you. Furthermore, you use that then for your own deals. You use those same strategies so that you can pull off your deals and do them without tapping all of your resources to get it done. There's nothing worse than taking out all of the cash that you have in the bank to get a deal done and then being cash poor once you're in a deal. It's a very uncomfortable feeling, and I've felt for many investors who do it the wrong way and end up in that position.
All right, I want to say something before you go any further, just because I know I've seen you give this presentation, as you know, a few times. It's been an earlier version of it. You know, this one is updated for today's market. But as I've seen you go through this and you try to see, you know, who's tracking with me, invariably about, you know, maybe 10-15% of the room has a little bit of a tough time following what we just went through, even though I was tracking with you. So I want to let everyone know we are recording this. I will make the replay available for you. And if you didn't get any of that, or if you just you feel like you need to mull through the numbers a couple of times so it'll click, you'll have that opportunity, number one. So just want to ease that tension that I know some people are feeling right now. Number two.
I would also just encourage everybody, and JP, if you don't mind, if they listen to this and they've really picked it apart and they still don't understand something, post it on the forum. And,
yes.
You know, be specific with your questions, and I will do everything I can to clear that up.
And
the forum
you're
right.
Referring to, for those who don't know, is at flippinghomes.com, one of the best real estate investing discussion forum on the net.
Yeah, the key, this is not the easiest thing for some people to get, and I don't want you to feel bad if right now this is going over your head. It does happen. And sometimes it just takes a little further clarification, and it will all start to make sense. Don't feel bad if you're in that position right now. Just stay with us and just try to pick up everything that you can, and I'll do my best to clarify it for you at a later time
right. When
you
answer
the question.
Some of this is kind of heady. Secondly, because we are past the 90-minute mark and you guys have given us your blessing to go ahead and work through the rest of the content, thank you for that. It's going to be well worth your time. Well worth the investment of additional time. I do want to let you know, if you may have already noticed, if you've sneaked a peek at the very last bottom part of the last page, there's a code on the cheat sheet that I put there at the last minute, and you're going to want to hang on for that if you're here with us right now. So I just want to encourage you. I'll share that at the very very end once we get through the rest of this, because I don't want to interrupt it as little as possible, but I just want to let you know there's something coming. And that code has importance.